Good morning. Welcome to the Parsha Blueprint on Parshas Korach. So, for everything that happened with Korach and the people who got swallowed up in the ground, the people that got burnt in the fire, and the Magepha, refer to Monday's shir. Today we're going to go in a different direction. After all that's over, Hashem wants to make it super crystal clear that Aaron HaKohen was chosen for the kahuna by none other than Hashem. And so this is how this test played out. Hashem instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to take from each nasi, which 12 nasiim, one from each shevet, his matah, his stick, and each one had their own name written on it, so 12 in all, and to place all 12 matos inside the Ohel Moed. And this, the result of this test would prove, without a shadow of a doubt, that Hashem is the one who chose Aaron for the kahuna. But the way it was presented to Klal Yisrael is, let's see what happens. Now the 12 matos were left in the Ohel Moed overnight. The next day, Moshe returns to the Ohel Moed, brings out all 12 matos in front of everyone, and an open nace, the only matah that had miraculously blossomed, literally overnight, was Aaron HaKohen's matah. If you look in Perek Yod Zayin, Pasuk Chav Gimel, the Pasuk says, "Behine, parach matah Aaron lebeis Levi." And behold, this stick of Aaron, representing Shevet Levi, had begun to bloom with real flowers. Then it says, "Vayotzeitz tzitz," and the bud of a fruit began to sprout, just like with all fruits and nuts, the flower falls off, and the next phase begins. And finally, "Vayigmal shkedim," actual almonds began to grow. Now, almonds do sprout more quickly than any other fruit in real life too, but in Teva, it takes 3 weeks. And this nace happened in a matter of hours. Now, the reason Hashem chose dafka, an almond flower, it's a fruit which grows quickly, to show that anyone who challenges the kahuna gets punished quickly, Rahman al-Islam. And here's how the Kli Yakar explains these words. "Vihine, and behold, parach mata Aaron." The stick of Aaron blossomed. Kli Yakar says, "Remez, the Torah is teaching us by way of remez, a hint. Ki lo lemara eine ha'adam yishbod Hashem. That Hashem does not judge a person by the way he appears in the eyes of others. Ki im nira echad eitz yavesh belilich luchis mayim Torah v'chachma, because if one would appear to others just like a dry piece of wood, without any moisture from water, meaning totally lacking in Torah and chachma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mafricho, Hashem makes him blossom and succeed. Because Hashem is not only machriv, not machriv, well, that's the wrong word, mafrich, Hashem doesn't only help plants and trees grow, he makes people grow. People can blossom. And that's what the Kli Yakar is saying. You see someone that looks like an Eitz Yavesh, a dry piece of wood, without any moisture, any possibility for something to grow from it. Look what Hashem can do. Hashem could make a stick grow blossoms and fruit, meaning the almonds, and Hashem could make a person grow. Even if, in your eyes, he looks like he doesn't have Torah or Chachma, Hashem can change that and help this person blossom and grow and succeed. V'chein behefech, and it's the same the other way around. A person could look like he has everything, all the talents, all the tools, and Hashem could reverse things, chas v'shalom, and the person won't use his kashronos, or maybe he won't use them properly, but whatever it is, nothing will become of him. He'll remain in Eitz Yavesh. Hashem could do it both ways. And remember the first words, ki lo lamara einei ha'adam yishbod Hashem. Hashem doesn't judge a person the way other people do. The way someone looks in another person's eyes is not necessarily the way he looks to Hashem. Why? Usually Hashem judges us a lot more favorably than people, and there's a reason. Hashem knows your nisyonos. Hashem knows your personal struggles, your amazing intrinsic value, your true potential, your private limitations, how much sleep you're getting. Hashem knows, Hashem sees, and even when other people don't know and do not see, Hashem does, and that's why Hashem judges you the way he sees you, and not the way other people see you necessarily. There's a near-death experience mentioned in the Gemara where a Rav Nachman ben Rav Yitzchak's son passes out and ends up in heaven. And when he comes to, he's revived, he tells his father in a state of shock, "Olam hafach ra'isi, I saw an upside-down world. The people who are considered chashav down here are not chashav up there in Shemayim. And the people who are considered unimportant down here are tzaddikim up there in Shemayim." Rav Nachman corrected his son, "That wasn't an upside-down world that you saw. Olam bara ra'isa. You saw a clear world." David HaMelech's famous words in Tehillim, we sing them in Hallel. Evan ma'asu habonim ha'isa l'rosh pina. The stone that the builders rejected became the cornerstone, the most important stone of all. What's he referring to? That when they came looking for one of David's sons to anoint as king, right? They offered this son and that son, the tall one and the handsome one and the smart one. And Shmuel HaNavi's like, no, that's not who I'm looking for. He was looking for David HaMelech, and David's brothers were shocked. Him? Right? So he was like the stone that the builders scorned. Him? He's like the black sheep of the family. Hashem is like, yeah, him. Because I know what he really is. And he's the one that I want to be king. Tzadik ha-tamar yifrach, we say. A tzadik blossoms like a date or a date tree. What's katamar, like a date? Tof, for Torah. Mem, for Midos. And Resh, for our Rebbe. These three things guarantee anyone that he can blossom. Tzadik, katamar yifrach, like a tamar. With Torah, meaning learning and doing mitzvahs to the best of your ability. With Midos, working on your character. And Rebbe, aselech harav, have a Rav or a Rebbe for a dracha or a Rebbetzin. So when life gets confusing, you have guidance, you have a dracha. All these things ensure that you'll be the best, most refined, most accomplished version of yourself and fulfill your own tafkid. Rav Chaim Zayi tells a beautiful story illustrating how in a sayon, when we pass it, is often Hashem's way of presenting us with a chance to increase our schosim, dafka, so that we can grow. He sets us up for growth. He wants to shower us with bracha, but we might not deserve it totally just yet. So we get a big nisayon, a way to blossom and grow, and then we become a keli, a vessel for great blessings and yeshuas. So this story, he tells in first person, on Pesach Sheni, which happens to be the yard site of Rabbi Meir Balanes. Rabbi Zaid was on a bus en route to Tveria, to daven at the cave of Rabbi Meir Balanes. Now, Rabbi Chaim Zaid is an amazing speaker in Eretz Yisrael. And so he was sitting towards the front of the bus. He said he had his earphones in. He was taking notes and with a sefer. It's a long trip and doing his own thing. Middle of the way there, a young girl gets on the bus and sits down. And very shortly after she sits down, a passenger hands the bus driver some CD. And very inappropriate secular music, and it's now blasting through the bus. So the girl gets up quietly and politely, and she asks him if he could please turn it down. And he doesn't want, and she doesn't want to hear this. And but she said it very nicely and delicately. But you know, the Israeli driver, I don't have to tell you what some of them are like. And he's like, it's a long trip. I want to listen. She asks again. I really don't want to hear this. Now, I just realized I just said Lashon Hara about Israeli bus drivers. They don't know better, okay? A lot of them are Tinoko Shaneshbo. I just wanted to fix that sort of Lashon Hara. Okay, so back to the story. He refuses. He says, it's a long trip. I want to hear this music. She asks again, I don't want my ears to hear this. He says, be quiet. And if you don't like the music, you can get off the bus. And that's exactly what she does. Now, that was amazing enough because this is not a bus that comes every 2 minutes. The bus to Tveria, the next bus would be in another 30, 40 minutes. It was boiling hot outside that day. And also, it's not a regular fare. When you go on a far trip, you actually have to pay. It costs more. Now, at that point, she could have given herself so many excuses to give up. She could have said, I'll hold my fingers in my ears, or I'll go to I'll keep myself busy with something. It's a mitzvah. I'm going to the kever of a tzaddik. Like, she could have told herself so many things. But she cared, but she truly, truly wanted to protect her ears and her neshama and keep them tahar. And she passed this nisayon, and Hashem took note. Now, Rabbi Zaid said he normally would not know what happened next, right? The girl gets off the bus. How does he know what happens next? But he said, b'derech nes, Hashem ended up showing him the rest of the story. And he said, maybe it's because he tells stories all over of to strengthen people's amunah. So Hashem gave him the gift of finding out the end of the story. After he got back from Tveria, he saw this girl walking arm in arm with an older woman. And he asked her, you're the same girl that got off the bus earlier today? She says yes. And she quietly indicates to him that she wants to share the end of the story with him. Just as soon as she helps this lady home, and he gives her his number, and they agree that she's going to call him later. She does call him later. And she tells him, yes, I did lose the fare of the first trip. I did have to pay again. I did have to wait about 45 minutes in the boiling heat for another bus. But listen to what happened. On the second bus, that she only got on because of what she did, okay? An older woman, this older woman that he saw her with, is sitting next to her, and she says, can you please help me when we get there? Help me find the kever, and maybe just like be with me and come home with me, whatever, accompany me home. And the girl says, b'simcha, of course, of course. And then the lady starts explaining her story. She said, her husband was nifter a few years ago. He had been the owner of a very large jewelry store in, I think it was in Yerushalayim, I forgot. And he left instructions in his will that every year on the Yom Hilula, the yahrzeit of Rabbi Meir, the family should daven at his kever, and every year they should find a kala, orphaned from either her mother or father, and take care of half the chasana expenses, and find her an apartment to rent, obviously help with some of those payments, and to buy her furniture once a year. Now, she said her son took care of this for the last 3 years since the husband passed away, but this year he's in Chutz Laaretz, so she's the only one left to take care of it, so she was going to the kever herself to do this, you know, this follow the tzava of her husband. And so after she explains all this, and then she looks up at the girl and she says, so maybe you know someone, Akala Yisoma, that I could help this year, like that my husband would have wanted me to do. And the girl says, I'm Akala. And my father passed away a few years ago. And as you can imagine, the money situation is taka hard. The lady gives her a huge hug and she tells her, I'm going to take care of everything, not half the expenses of your chasana, but all of it. From 1 minute to the next, Yeshua Hashem Karafayim, this lady offered to take care of everything, and she did. So, now go back to where this girl is sitting on the bus and has this huge nisayon. Was getting off the bus, losing the fare, waiting again in the scorching heat for almost an hour, a bad thing or a good thing? It was a great thing, right? So many times we say, Hashem, do you like me even? Like, some people think Hashem is picking on them, or something. Sometimes people think Hashem has it in for them, or Hashem is so strict with them more than other people. But sometimes you don't realize that Hashem, whatever he's doing to you, he's doing for you. Hashem wanted to help this girl, so he gave her an nisayon. She's moser nefesh to keep her ears and neshama tahor, and dafka beglal hanisayon, dafka because of her whole ordeal, she's rewarded in a way she couldn't have imagined in her wildest dreams. So Rav Zaid ends by saying, shas nisayon, shas rachamim. The time that you're getting a test is a time that you could actually get rachamim from Hashem if you pass the test. And as we learn from the Kli Yakar in this week's Parsha, Hashem's the one who makes things bloom and grow, even people. Hashem wants to be mafriachas. We just have to be ready. Tamar Ansh, in her weekly email bulletin, sent out just yesterday that there was someone caring for a frail elderly mother who couldn't be moved to the mamad every time there's a siren. She couldn't be moved to the safe room. And obviously she couldn't be left alone either. So they were asking Rav Shraga Steinman, Ron Leib's son, what to do. Many of you might have read it in her email. And the response was, your mother is your protection. The schus of honoring your mother is your shield. In fact, during the sirens, everyone in the home should stand around her. That's your safe place. That's your mamad. So like Reverend Zaid said, shas nisayon, shas rachamim. Something hard, when you pass it, is like, wow. It's like just opening up the gates of bracha. And passing the sionos is how we blossom and grow, just like the matzah of Aaron HaKohen. Thank you so much for listening, and have the best Shabbos ever.